Hi there. Welcome back to Adventures of the Airstream Oracle. This is one of those stories today that you forget about and like 35 years later, 40 years later, something, you see something and it just pops up and you go, oh, wow. Okay, I had that experience, kind of. It's a whale of a tale, but it's true. So I have to tell you guys, I was just looking on Facebook again, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm awake early, and I see this thing from the East Coast. A friend of mine posts an article from NPR about somebody out. What did it say? It was a fisherman of some kind off of Cape Cod that just got swallowed by a humpback whale. And I didn't read the whole article, but basically, got swallowed by the thing and then got spit out again at some point. And, you hear about that in the Bible, Jonah and the whale, and you're like, oh, okay, that's awesome. But what I'd forgotten about is when I was a kid, my grandparents lived outside of Boston in a little town called Walpole. It was this really neat little town. My grandpa worked for Raytheon, and so this was a little suburb of Boston. And I loved Boston. Talk about one of those cities that you've been to that you feel reincarnated, and you walk around and you're like, oh, okay, this feels like home. Like, I know I've been here before. Like these cobblestone streets and this big market and, this historical feel, like this is home. And it turns out, I think if you've listened to early episodes when I talk about going to visit them and they took us to Salem, like I felt at home in that period in New England. And then I always read the book as a kid, Johnny Tremaine, which was all about, this is why you don't record podcasts in the early in the morning before you've had your coffee. It was about metalsmiths and, people that were part of the revolution. And, it was a really interesting kid's book. And I really identified with that, like being somebody that notified people in the town that the redcoats were coming. And this kid in this book, rode with Paul Revere, or was a scout for him. So just, interesting stuff all having to do with Boston and just, feeling at home there. And, turns out we definitely have, a genealogical link to back then, but I'm starting to want to ask people, do your past lives and your genealogy connect somehow? Like, how does all that work? And is it really a past life, or is it a synchronistic current life? Like, what, talk about timelines and how all that works. Like, that's what I can't wrap my head around just yet. All the quantum physics and all the possibilities of multiple lives occurring currently, and it's all an illusion anyway. Like that just makes my head explode. But I know it's there, and I know that's probably what's happening. But anyway, well, it's too much for early in the morning for my brain. But as I was reading that article on NPR, I just started laughing because, how did I forgot this story? I'm like 15, and I'm visiting my grandparents this one summer, and we would always go out to their sailboat. They had their sailboat in Providence, Rhode Island. It was Scituate Harbor is where it was, and it was a place called Narragansett Bay. And we would drive, a couple of hours from their house up to Rhode Island, which always made me laugh because, in Texas, driving a couple of hours won't get you to the next suburb sometimes, because it takes I don't know, 13, 14, 15 hours to get across Texas. We're so big. So driving 2 hours anywhere up there, you know, to get to a whole different state just was interesting to me as a kid. But we'd drive that 2 hours. We'd sometimes go to the sailboat and stay for, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, like just really go live on it and sail around. And that's one of my first times to really get to enjoy tiny living like that, you know, besides all the campers my dad would put in our driveway. We'd go for a week on a family vacation in a camper, and then dad would put it up in the driveway for me to play in, you know, once we got home. But being on the sailboat, you know, that's its own kind of tiny house. And we would sail around, and I love being on the water, but I'm not so great about being in it, especially if I can't see the bottom and I don't know what's around me, and, you know, stuff can brush up against me. Like, I was a really nervous kid in the water when I was little. Like, my mom put me in swimming lessons at the YMCA and when I was little, and I got kicked out early because I would panic and scream and scare all the other kids. So there's got to be a past life of some kind, or two or three, where I drowned, because it's big. It took me a long time to learn to swim, and I'm still not great. You know, I can keep myself alive for sure and enjoy being in the water, but I'm still really nervous, you know, when I can't see what's around me, which is why when I went to Grand Cayman in college with some friends, we were doing a snorkeling thing at Stingray City, and the boat kind of drifted away, and I was snorkeling and not paying attention, and some weather started kicking up, and like big driftwood started coming in, and we had just fed the stingrays, which was really cool because the water there was clear. So I was, you know, I was like, okay, I can do this. I can fight through this fear and do this. Well, I didn't anticipate the weather and driftwood coming in and stuff starting to hit me and starting to get panicked, and y'all, I almost drowned. I panicked. And I realized how far away from the boat I was, how bad of a swimmer I was. It all freaked me out. And I'm so lucky, this was in college, I'm so lucky that the guy that I was friends with, that I was part of why I was on this trip, came out of nowhere swimming up to me and realized what was happening and just grabbed me, started dragging me back to the boat. But I guess I had stuffed this memory of why I got so freaked out when I was in Grand Cayman from what's in the water, until I saw this article today from the NPR whale swallowing thing. And I remember this time that, you know, I'd gotten to Granny and Grandpa's. We'd spent a week or so at their house. We pack up, we go out to the sailboat. We're going to be, you know, be out for a few weeks. And, I don't know, a couple of days into sailing around, we're pretty much out in the middle of nowhere. I don't remember what our route was or what we were doing, but we were going to be out for a while. So, I do remember we couldn't see land at all. If it was there, it was really far away. But we'd sailed out, and Grandpa decided, you know, it was lunchtime, so he idled I guess he turned the engine on at that point. Maybe we were motoring. And he idled the engine and said, hey, you know, I'm going to get Granny to make some lunch. I'm going to go below for a minute. Why don't you go swim? And I knew I was a bad swimmer, you know, not strong enough. So I had on a life jacket, which was good. So I jumped overboard, let him talk me into it, and paddle around for a few minutes. And he comes back from being down below. And I had kind of drifted away from the boat some at that point, because I was, you know, it was fun and we were out in the middle of nowhere, no big deal. And I'm paddling around. And I hear him yelling to me, but, you know, I can't really make out what he's saying. And it's basically just trying to get my attention. And I realize at that point he has released the dinghy, the little lifeboat from the back of the big sailboat. And it's still connected to the boat with a rope, but he's let it out, just let it come all the way back to where I was, floating around, which I thought was weird. And then I get my head above water enough and hear him yelling, "Hey, get in the dinghy," you know, kind of calmly. And I'm kind of waving to him, and then just really loud and really clear, and sorry, I'm going to cuss because this is where I learned it from my grandpa. I hear, "Get your ass in the goddamn dinghy now." I'm like, "Oh, alrighty." So I, you know, it gets back to me. I scramble over the side of it, and grandpa all of a sudden turns the engine up on the sailboat. It starts to pull away from where we are. I'm like, "That's weird. Why am I getting a dinghy ride in the middle of the ocean?" And y'all, just then I realize, you know, because he's up on the big sailboat, I'm down on the water, a baby whale surfaces right next to the dinghy. It's one of the coolest things I've ever seen. It was just beautiful. And it just surfaces, and it's just kind of paddling around, and it goes under again, and it comes up kind of on the other side of me. And I, you know, I'm 13, 14 year old kid. I'm like, "Wow, this is so cool." And I'm just watching it and seeing it do its thing, and grandpa's picking up speed, and I'm just like, this is a joyride. How I'm swimming, you know, I'm sailing with a baby whale. How cool. Well, sorry, I snorted. where there's a baby whale, there's a mama whale. And I didn't think about that one, but grandpa had seen it from the, you know, perspective of the larger boat looking down. And all he could think about was me being out in the water with this ginormous whale. And all of a sudden, you know, as he's picking up speed and trying to get away from it, she surfaces next to me. Oh my God. It's no wonder I blocked this and forgotten about it, because it scared the living hell out of me. But all I needed to do was hang on, and all he needed to do was, you know, keep going, keep moving, keep us headed forward. And so they both just surfaced around us for, I don't know, a couple of minutes, just doing their thing. And luckily, you know, she never hit my little boat. She never hit the big boat, the mama. I guess she didn't feel threatened by us, which was good. And we just kept moving forward, and eventually she kind of branched off with the baby and went another direction. But for a little while, it was one of the coolest experiences of my life, and quickly became one of the freakiest ones. But you know, like most anything, it ends well. But man, I saw that NPR thing this morning about that poor fisherman who got swallowed, and I thought, "Oh, wouldn't that have been awesome?" So, you know, is that a past life thing that I remember? Did something like that happen to me, you know, at another time? Because that's how past life things work. You carry the trauma of those experiences with you, you know, into your current life until you're able to release them. So who knows what my fear of water and things underwater and things that go bump in the night that you can't see, you know, that cause you to drown, who knows what that stemmed from, right? But like most things, it turned out okay. But I'm still nervous on the water. I love to be on it, but not in it unless I can really see what's happening. And you know, this may be why, but I just thought I would share that with you, because it's so funny to me how you forget those things. And now I have to go look up the whale totem to see, you know, what that visit meant, because it's got to be something magical. Because think of, what are the chances of that? You know, statistically, it's a visitation from something magical. So I've been lucky that way. I've had lots of magical experiences like that. not sure what they all mean exactly, except I just feel really, really blessed. It's fun to discover them and share them with you guys. But anyway, if you can't tell, my allergies are messed up. I'm hiding under the covers so you can't hear the Airstream air conditioner, and it's kind of blaring, and my allergies are messed up. I don't do well being under a fan like that all night. So pardon the congestion, pardon the muffled recording, but I just wanted to come on and share that with you guys. So that is my story for today, and thank you for listening. It's a whale of a tale, but it's true. I love you guys. I'll talk to you next time. If you'd like to get in touch with me, there's a couple of ways to do that. You can find me on Instagram at @Airstream_Oracle, or you can email me at hello@ShannonPinkston.com. I do one-on-one intuitive energy work, which basically means I will read into you energetically and intuitively, and I can really quickly find what has shut you down, the places where you're stuck, any place that you're in overwhelm, or connect the dots for you on a whole lot of things that bring you joy that you might have forgotten, that can lead you to your greater purpose and what really lights you up in the world. I'm able to do that really quickly for my clients. And I also provide like sacred energy wellness support and tips, and use my medical intuition to help, you know, figure out some of the places of dis-ease and contraction in your body. A lot of my clients have called me the joy whisperer, because they come into my sessions shut down and closed down and kind of contracted, and they end up leaving open and bright and sparkly and with a clearer, you know, path to their purpose and what makes their soul sing. So if any of that resonates with you, reach out. You can also find me on Facebook if you'd like to be part of my Facebook group. It's Dragonfly Energy Wellness and Empath Support. You can search for it, and we play intuitive games in there. We do a lot of energy support, and you know, I come on and read oracle cards for my group, and just do whatever I can to connect us, you know, in deep conversations and things that matter. So if that resonates with you at all, any of the above, reach out. I'd love to hear from you. And as always, thank you so much for listening.